In an attempt to tame the Wild West, a prison was established in Deer Lodge, Montana, in 1871. The depression in the state left them without the necessary funds to build a proper prison. They turned to inmate labor to finish the construction. During its operation, a daring escape attempt was made by two prison inmates. It left the warden dead, and 18 prison employees were taken hostage. After a bazooka was fired at the tower where the two prisoners were stationed, the riot ended in a murder-suicide. Do the tower walls still hold the energy from this tragic event? Stay tuned. Mystery Media Group presents Case File 44.
You are listening to Mystery Media Group.
Yay! Hello, I'm Melissa with Ghost Girl Memoirs.
And I'm Mike with Paranormal Treasure Hunter, and you are listening to Destination Mystery. We believe the paranormal is all around us, and every destination is an adventure. We never know what we're going to find in our adventure, but we do know that we'll have an interesting story to tell when we return. We're not going to the same locations or telling the same stories that you've heard over and over. Most of our destinations will be in locations you've never thought to look or investigate or explore. And we hope you will join us in our journey toward discovering the truth.
When we were on our little Montana road trip, we got to stop and investigate the old Montana State Prison. We started at 9 o'clock at night and we were able to stay there. We were supposed to end at 3, but I think we stayed later than that.
It was closer to 4.
The lady, her name was Lisa, whom hopefully we'll be able to interview with a little bit later, was super nice to let us explore around and have fun. But anyway, there was a paranormal investigator there who took us around, gave us a tour, kind of talked about some of her experiences there and some of the hauntings that she's experienced. And we did some investigating with her, and then we were able to go out on our own. And we literally had free rein of the entire prison, access to everything.
That's so cool.
It was amazing. That does not happen often.
Or no, ever. That is why I like those haunted tours at night.
Yeah, that was really fun.
Because we get free access and there's no people. And we don't start waking up till about 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
When we were sitting at McDonald's planning this before we went, I'm thinking, I've got to have a nap. I am so tired. I'm never going to make it through this.
I was the same way.
But the second we got in there, man.
Wide awake.
I'd get a lot more work done if I felt like that.
I know.
I was so excited.
It was just a beautiful building.
Oh, it was.
The prison was established in Deer, Montana in 1871, and it was mostly constructed by the inmates themselves. And it remained open until 1979, when a new facility was built about 4 miles west of town, which is where Google Maps kept wanting to take us. The original design that they had made was estimated to cost about $100,000 to construct, but they were only given $40,000 to do it. And this was in part because of the depression that was happening in 1893 in the state. And they had hired Dr. Mitchell to be the superintendent of construction. So he started making cuts. For example, he built one of the buildings out of granite instead of cement because it was cheaper. And even with all the cuts and everything, it just failed to make even minimal expectations. And so they decided to use the convict labor to build some more buildings. And then in 1884, they were given some more money where they were able to build the central offices and the guard dormitories. And then eventually they were able to complete it. And they added the south wing, which had the 42 new cells, and it made it possible for 140 inmates to be housed there. However, when Warden Frank Connolly began running the prison in 1909, It was very deteriorated and overcrowded. They had almost 200 inmates at that time, and it was only supposed to house 140. So he decided to lease out the inmates to other companies and let them work. And it brought in money to help them build onto the prison. And they eventually ended up with a new cell house. In 11 months, they were able to finish this cell house. It was able to house another 200 cells, and it had flushing toilets and good ventilation, which none of the other buildings had had in the past. They also had two cells that they named the Black Box because they were in total darkness, and the inmates were locked in these cells for a period of 1 to 3 days. They were placed on a bread and water diet and only provided with a mattress, blanket, and a honey bucket.
I don't think there was honey in that bucket.
No honey in that bucket. It was a place you didn't want to be sent to. There was also a place that they called Siberia, which is strange that most prisons have that. I mean, they call it Siberia in several of the prisons we've been to, which is solitary confinement. There was a story about Warden Connolly training some of the inmates in preparation for combat, and he offered their assistance to the War Department, but they rejected it. They didn't want them there to fight. So
I don't think I'd give them a gun either.
Well, true, but I mean,
give them janitorial services.
They were offering to help. I think they should have taken it, but there was a very notable event that happened there in April 16th, 1959, which involved Jerry Miles and Lee Smart.
That was known as the Great Riot at the prison. Apparently, these two prisoners were in a relationship, and they'd been planning for months on how to escape. Overtook some guards.
They led 12 inmates in a riot, which left one of the deputy wardens dead. And they took 18 prison employees and 5 stool pigeon inmates. I don't know why they mentioned that, but
what are stool pigeon inmates?
Pigeons that lived there, I guess.
It was planned well enough in advance that the only lady working in the prison, they actually warned her not to come to work that day.
Yeah, and she listened to him. She stayed away.
How hard would it be to convince you not to come into work today?
Not too hard. Yeah,
especially, I mean, if you have prisoners going, hey, you may want to stay home today.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even need to know the reason.
That. Yeah.
But I think the warning that she got wasn't even enough time for her to warn anybody else. So,
no. Well, and then didn't two of the guards get up to the guard tower, but their communication system was off wire or whatever. I want to say offline, but that wasn't back then. And the warden himself, they were trying to get the warden himself to come in so they could take him out. Uh-huh. And he made it through the main doors before he got warned. And he was able to get to one of the buildings and hide. But Jerry Miles and Lee Smart, they went up that far tower. And those towers were really weird. I mean, after seeing them, it just made more questions into my mind of why they were built that way.
Yeah.
They were 4 stories high, but they didn't go anywhere. There was a room and a bathroom on each level. Uh-huh. They didn't go out through the prison. There was no access. You just had this tower.
Were they for the guards to live in?
They said that some of them housed the single guards. At one point, the tower that they went in, it was known as the Death Tower because it was also used during flu epidemic, and they put the sick prisoners up there. And that's how it got the name of Death Tower. But it's still, I mean, you have to go through every floor to get up to the top. You can't access anything else in the building from the tower. It was just really weird on the building of it. So the two main prisoners got to the very top. The warden had called in the National Guard because the riot had grown that big. And they actually shot a bazooka at the top of the tower. And you can see the damage that the bazooka did, which wasn't a whole lot. You would expect like half the tower to be blown away.
Yeah.
That was one well-built tower.
I was just going to say they constructed it well.
But the two prisoners, it ended in a murder-suicide.
And it makes me wonder, I mean, we don't know for sure what their plan was. We know they had been planning it for a while, but they had taken these hostages. And I don't know why you would decide to go. I guess if they thought they could use them as leverage to get out.
Why go up that tower? Again, right. It doesn't go anywhere. There was no way out of it.
Unless they had a different plan
unless they had a zip line out of that window.
Yeah. So unless they had a different plan and it was originally, you know, they were supposed to go somewhere else and escape, but couldn't make it. So they went up to the tower. I don't know. Also, there was a pretty notable inmate, Paul Ettner. I think I said that right. But he was known as Turkey Pete. And he was sentenced to life in prison at the age of 40 for murder. They said he was a model prisoner, though. So they assigned him to tend the turkey prison, or the turkey prisons, the prison turkeys. But his mind started to slip. And one day he sold the entire prison flock for 25 cents each. And this ended his farming days at the prison. He kind of lost his mind. And they humored him by printing checks. And he was allowed to pay all the prison expenses with those checks. And he paid the guards and the other prison staff their salaries. And it says that he also was able to save Brazil's coffee crop. He sold pink alligators. He purchased alfalfa seeds from Pancho Villa. He sold grasshopper legs to Fidel Castro. And he also sold ships to the Navy. So
course, very entrepreneurial.
Yeah. But they have a cell there that's dedicated to him. It has a painting of him when he was young and then another painting of him when he was old, because he ended up dying there. And I think he was the only inmate that they did a funeral for, right?
Yes. He was actually up for parole and everything, but he didn't have anywhere to go. And with his mind slipping and everything, they decided to let him stay. The prison guards actually paid for his funeral, mm-hmm. for his casket and everything. And they had it there in the theater.
And I think he's one of the few prisoners that got an actual headstone.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just start with the investigation in the women's ward.
It was interesting how we started as a big group, but there seemed to be a lot of activity there. It was fun having their equipment too. Because mm-hmm. they had stuff that I never thought of using. I didn't think about those light up cat toys and stuff.
They had the famous music box.
Yes.
As seen on Destination Fear.
I think we should get one of those too.
That thing never shut off though. It was on the entire time.
I wonder if there was an issue with it setting itself, kind of like my REM pod does on occasion, or if there really was activity the whole time. I don't know.
Yeah. But the cat balls lit up a lot too.
Yeah.
But during the first part, when we were in there with the group, Melissa and I went to one of the back cells and they asked us, what part are you drawn to? And I was drawn to that back cell, and both of us went back in there and we set up our REM pod back there. And the two of us stayed back there while they played music and their music box was going off. It was interesting back there. You felt a lot back in that room. Didn't you have like someone touch you? And
yeah, I did. I was drawn to that same back room that you were, and I felt the presence of a female. I got the impression she was quite feisty, just one of those type of people that could kind of take care of herself. Anyway, I got tapped on my left shoulder. I was sitting against the wall, and my left shoulder was by the cell door. And it was almost like somebody had reached through that cell door and just tapped me on my shoulder. But it was pretty distinct. It was two taps. And then I kept getting the impression that the lady's name was Edith. And we later learned that there was an Edith that was an inmate there. The lady who works there thought it was that cell. There really was an Edith. So I thought that was kind of interesting that I would get that impression. I didn't know before I went there. I don't think we got any activity on the REM pod, but we did get some activity on our EMF detector.
Yeah, especially when we picked it up off the floor and put it on the bed. I was sitting on the edge of the bed. Towards the end, especially when they started turning off the music, we started getting a lot more activity. And it almost felt like someone sat on the bed when I was on there.
I remember us saying, well, it's time for us to go. If there's anything you want to tell us, let us know now. And the EMF detector started going off. And we did ask a question too. I've actually got this video footage.
If you want us to come back, can you touch one of these lights? Thank you.
Thank you.
So it wasn't super strong, but it did go up to orange.
And that's the one that we had up on the bed.
We asked Edith if she wanted us to come back to let us know, and she did. So we did go back later, and we played some music from her era, and we danced with her. I remember one of the investigators said, if you're here, could you knock and let us know? And we did hear two knocks in that back room.
We did.
That area also used to be maximum security. Is that right?
Yeah, I think after they moved the women out, because they moved them out after the riot, they moved them to the different prison. That part was so isolated that, yeah, it became maximum security.
Where did we go after that?
We went out into the yard and they asked us if there was some place that we were drawn to. And we were facing towards the 1912 building. And I told them that tower, I said, I'm really drawn to the towers. It feels like someone is up there watching us. We don't necessarily have to go up there, but I feel like someone's watching us from that tower. That's when we went in there and they opened up that door. And she was like, no, we're not going to go up there. It doesn't feel right.
We could have got another full body apparition, Michelle.
We could have.
Dang it.
But the whole time we were there, it felt like someone was watching us from those windows in that tower.
Yeah.
We decided to do the cell block from there.
And I do remember when we were walking through this cell block, Lisa said, there's someone in that cell. And it was on the second row of cells up on top. And so Michael had his thermal and he pointed it up there real quick. And you did see something. It looked like someone had poked their head out of
there. Somebody ducked their head back in. Yeah. Something did duck back in real quick. I actually saw it first. That's why I put my head up. And she said the same thing right at the same time. Yeah, I saw that too. There's something up there. But it was so fast.
That's how it always
is. So quickly.
So we kind of walked through that building, but I don't recall us doing an actual investigation in that area, did we?
No, not until the other side. That's when they had to sit and choose a cell to be separate in. They set a REM pod not too far outside the cell I was sitting in. I went down a little farther from everyone else, and that REM pod went off a lot.
I got EMF activity. So she was playing Country Roads. And I was singing very badly along with it, so you can hear that. But I got some EMF activity. Just ignore my voice.
Oh, wow. You got a lot of activity.
Yeah.
And is that a demon in the background?
The red?
No, the sound.
Yeah, that was very
I'm just kidding. Cow.
That EMF was going off like crazy when she was playing that music. And as soon as the music stopped, the EMF stopped.
Mm. Oh, interesting.
So I'm guessing they either really liked the music or really didn't. But I've never known anybody not to like that song. So.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. I had an EMF in my cell, never went off once.
That's weird.
But the REM pod outside the cell was going crazy.
Huh.
And then we continued down that road. At the very end of it was Turkey Pete's cell.
They would not let us go in Turkey Pete's cell. Then we went to the chapel.
Yeah, the chapel and the hole.
We could see the hole through the wall.
Solitary confinement.
Solitary confinement, yeah.
They told us that they get a lot of activity in the chapel area. They had a laser grid that was pointing on the door because they often see shadow figure that's standing outside that door. I do remember the green lights. Do you remember them getting brighter?
Yeah, I've got video of that. Yeah, it would get brighter and then dim out. It was kind of interesting. I sat there and watched it for a while.
Some of the laser dots in the top right corner blacked out, and then almost something kind of flew through the door, and then it'd come back. And that happened twice that I could see.
On my thermal imager, I didn't ever see the outline of anybody, but in the corner of the doorway, it would get brighter or hotter, like something was walking up towards the doorway, never stepped into view of the doorway. But you could see where possible heat signature was coming up and then going away, because it'd get really, really bright on the thermal imager. Then it'd go back to their normal and then it'd get bright. It happened a couple of times. Yeah. I don't know what it was, but that was interesting. About the same time that area went dark and we saw the pixels on that laser grid go out.
And it did kind of seem like someone was standing out there watching us.
It did seem like it.
It's kind of weird. We took turns sitting in a solitary confinement cell, and she had what she called a phasma box, and we were able to use that to do a session in that cell. And I have a couple of clips from that. It was the first time that we'd ever used the Phasma box, so we were not really used to how it sounded and how it worked.
Hard to hear because it was a small room and it echoed.
Yeah.
Well, the sound itself echoes anyway off that.
And I downloaded it when we got home to try it, and I'm not sure I like it because I thought, well, maybe it will sound different in my house versus the jail where it's echoey, but it sounded exactly the same, and the voices sounded exactly the same. So I don't know, but we got quite a few clips, so I'll play those for you. Okay, here's the first one.
Are you guys arguing about who's talking?
So there's three voices there. I don't know what they're saying, but it did kind of sound like there were people arguing in that room.
That's interesting.
Here's the next one.
Can one of you touch the green lights?
That's where you thought it said a bad word, Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I hear.
Which would make sense coming from an inmate.
Yeah. Here's the next one.
Can you try to talk one at a time, please?
I hear yes, ma'am.
Yeah, but it was very sarcastic.
Exactly. Yes, ma'am. All right, here's the next one.
Did you know Turkey Pete?
I don't know what that first one is, but the last one to me sounded like a man saying hello, and then a woman says yes. Here's the next Turkey Pete question.
Did you know Turkey Pete?
I said no. So we must have asked that several times and didn't hear the first answer. Here's the next one.
Do you like talking to the visitors here?
To me, that's a clear no.
Do you like talking to the
But yet they do.
Right. Here's the next one.
How long were you down here?
I hear something a year.
Almost to me, that middle part sounds like for a long time.
Oh.
How long were you down here?
Yeah.
For a long time.
This one, a long time, and then this one says almost a year, I think.
Because they said down in those cells, they stayed, 10 days, and then they had to come out and see the doctor and make sure they were okay, and then they'd put them back in.
Yeah. That'd be kind of sad if he was down there almost a year, but here's the next one.
See, if you touch it, they light up. Yeah, it kind of looks like Christmas, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sounds like she says Christmas right here. And you're answering with, yeah, it kind of looks like Christmas, doesn't it? Which is true because they're red and green.
Yeah.
Here's the next one.
Ooh, you want to come here?
I hear you want to come here, but we didn't ask anything before it, so it's kind of weird. Okay, here's the last one.
Why did you get put in the hole?
Didn't we ask about that? And she said somebody was put in here for that.
Yeah. Well, somebody was imprisoned for that. Yes. So they very well could have been in the hole for a while.
Why did you get put in the hole?
That was fairly clear.
That one was one we definitely heard nice and clear. So that was our first time using the Phasma box. And I don't know that I loved it, but I am definitely willing to try it again. So then after that, we went into the showers. And I think each of us took a shower stall. While we were in the shower room, I didn't get a whole lot other than I heard a door open, like a cell door open in the room upstairs. And then I also heard some banging that sounded like banging on the cell doors. And there wasn't anybody up there. We were all down in the shower room. So that was interesting.
Yeah, I never felt like there was really any presence in the shower room when we were in there.
No.
Mike was trying to fix the plumbing.
It was dripping. It was bothering me.
Where? What was that hallway that you didn't want to go into, Michelle?
Oh, that was the tunnel.
The tunnel.
You guys went down into the tunnel. Yeah, and I did not want to go in there.
That was my favorite spot.
It was cool. Really cool. And I started down there and then came out because I was feeling really out of sorts as well. I actually got kind of dizzy, had to sit down.
Yeah, I just felt like it wasn't the place for us that night. No. And when I stayed out with Lisa and, you know, because they said that's where the guards would sit. They had the gun ports that pointed into the chapel and the classroom there.
Yeah.
That the guards would watch the inmates from there. And that's how, through those tunnels, is also how the guards got in and out of the cell block.
Yep.
But I started asking her because I'm like, I just feel like it's just a horrible place. What else happened there? She goes, well, a lot of times they would take prisoners in there and discipline them.
Oh, I couldn't see that. Beat the crap out of them.
Now that makes sense, that it just felt like a dark, horrible place to me.
Yeah, I felt the same way. Did you get anything there, Mike?
No, I stayed in there for a while. I went down both ends and all the way to each end. One of the ladies went with me down there and something happened to her and she took off quite fast. And I had my flashlight off and it was in my pocket. I was just kind of using her light and she took off and left me down there by myself in the dark. She saw something in the room or heard something in that far room that had the storage in it.
Uh-huh.
There was a light in there that moved or something and boy, she took off.
Huh. After the tunnels, we went to
administration. That's where we learned the pendulum.
You want to talk about that, Mike?
Well, they asked for a volunteer, and I don't usually volunteer without knowing what it is for, but I was in a good mood because we were doing something fun. And so they wanted to ask questions to me, and I was supposed to stand and fold my arms across my chest. They would say, they'd ask the question, then if it's yes, push them backwards. If it's no, push them forward, something like that.
Yeah.
And they had Melissa and I stand in front of you and behind you to catch you just in case.
And they asked one question and I'm like, you know what, let's put on some earmuffs so that I can't hear you, so that I won't be swayed one way or another. And so we put on those noise canceling and I'll be danged if it didn't feel like I was being ever so slightly directed in one direction or another.
So that was a new thing that we hadn't tried, and it was kind of interesting to see how that worked. So we went through all the administrative buildings. There was a huge wall that had the missing children. That made me kind of sick because there were three huge walls
full of kids missing.
That's a lot of missing kids. There was also a wall that had the FBI's most wanted.
I believe your picture was up there.
Maybe. I remember just kind of walking around and checking things out. And there was like the booking room and the warden's
psychiatric room.
Oh, yeah.
Where the psychiatrist had to work. It was the size of a broom closet. It was the most depressing room. Lord, I'd lose my mind if I had to work in that 8 hours a day. I'd rather be in the jail cell than that room. It was awful.
And then we begged them to take us to the towers. They said that there was a tower that they would take us to that hadn't been opened in 2 years. They told us it had a portal and they closed it off and hadn't allowed anybody in there, but they were going to open it for us.
So I kind of pushed her out of the way and ran up there because I wanted to see what this portal was.
I didn't understand
what it was exactly, to be honest, what a portal was or what she meant by a portal.
She said you could physically see it. And I was like, how do you physically see a portal? So I'm not sure, but we did find something interesting. You want to talk about what we found?
There was one room with a bench, just one person bench in the middle of the room. And this substance, it didn't come from the ceiling. It didn't come from the walls. There's a substance all over the floor that looked very much like a lot of blood had just been let loose on the floor. I don't know how else to describe it.
Exactly like blood. It was that.
Yeah, it did.
Dark color.
It didn't come from the ceiling and it didn't leak from any of the walls. It looked like somebody was sitting on that bench and was decapitated. That's what it looked like.
That's exactly I thought stabbed in the jugular, but that's exactly what it looked like.
I never did see a portal, but
no, but the tower was pretty eerie. Is it because nobody had been up there? It had been locked up. It was musty and gross, or
no light, no windows, no air movement. No, nobody'd been up there. It was an interesting place.
I feel like something went down there.
nefarious happened there.
Mm-hmm. I feel like somebody got murdered in that room, to be honest.
No, I mean, they could have easily taken prisoners there and disciplined them too.
True.
It was out of sight of everybody else.
Mm-hmm. And then we went into the next tower.
The next tower they called Siberia because it's in that very far corner.
But then from there, we went into the tower where
Lee Smart and Jerry Miles
were held up, and then they committed suicide. And we did do an EMF and spirit box session up there. And I'll play for you the clips that I have. Okay, here's the first one.
How long have you been planning your escape?
I don't know what it says. And it was echoey.
How long have you been planning your escape?
Can you understand that?
I hear two voices, though.
Yeah. Does sound male.
Not very old.
One was only 19 years old.
Okay, here's the next one.
Why are you so desperate to try and escape?
So Michelle's asking, what made you so desperate to try and escape? And then you hear three voices. And I don't know what they say. Okay, here's the next one.
Were you scared?
These two? It sounds like F you again.
That's what I heard.
First one sounds like some. Yeah. And then the other voice cussing at us again.
And the interesting thing is that the two words, the two first words sound like a younger male and the last two sound like an older male.
Mm-hmm.
What year was this? Do you remember?
1959.
All right, here is the last one.
Why did you choose to die on this
road? So Michelle's asking, why did you choose to die rather than surrender? And this is what you hear. To me, I hear what's kind of like a muffled maybe cry or something, and then I don't know.
Well, when I was listening to what I had on my phone recording from this, it's really interesting. Up in the very top room where these recordings came from, the spirit box was really loud, like there was people arguing and fighting, almost like you would from a riot. And then my next recording was in the room just below that one, and the spirit box was quiet. There wasn't all that back noise of yelling and fighting.
We could definitely have been hearing some of the residual from that riot. I mean, it was such a high energy event that it could easily be stored in those walls where it's just replaying over and over again.
Yeah. I mean, that's just one thing I really picked up when I was listening to the recordings, how that room was just so loud and the one below it was quiet.
After we did that, we had free rein of the whole prison. And we just walked around and looked at everything and took pictures and explored. And how did you like that?
I absolutely loved that. Especially free reign to the whole place by ourselves.
Yeah, because the other group had left by then. And just knowing you had the whole prison to yourself.
At 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, when that's probably when I'm the most awake. I had so much fun.
I did too.
When we went back the next day and they had the general public was there, you couldn't see half of it, and it just wasn't as much fun. I don't know why, but that is one of my favorite things in the world to do, is have free access to a place like that and just look it over. I just love it.
It was really cool that they opened everything up for us, and we didn't have anybody else in our way, and we were just able to wander around freely to everything.
Yeah.
We got to see all the things that the normal population doesn't get to see, so that was fun.
Those guard access tunnels were pretty cool.
Yeah, they were.
I mean, the prisoners had really nice ways of getting to and from, but the guards had a pretty crappy, deep, dark, crawl space tunnel ladders and small spaces. And
they had to tie a key to a shoestring and hand it down to the next guard to come up.
The facilities for the prisoners were better than the facilities for the guards.
Yeah.
If you enjoy our show, please like, subscribe, and leave a 5-star review. For more information, you can visit www.destination-mystery.com.
Find your own destination
and solve the mystery.